This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Who the hell is going to protect Deshaun Watson on Sunday? And a lot of you are saying, who cares? Well, okay, well, hold on. Mary Kay Cabot, she'll join us at 8:20 this morning. Also, I want to get back to that perfect game argument coming up at around 9 o'clock. 216-474-0092. Lima, there's rare time I have to do this. There's an itch that I have to scratch. I'm going to get to this Tom Withers tweet here in a moment. I got to get to the phones. I have to hear this. Matt in Westlake, you're first up in the fan. Hello.
Hello. First, you guys are the best. It makes it difficult to give you guys a hard time because I would struggle to do more so than you guys do to each other. So great stuff.
Well, thank you.
All right. So I got 3 points, and I think you're a marketing genius. And let me run through them, and then we can have a chat.
Okay.
Tying things together, I think speaking of shady, how about the Pirates cutting a guy with 4 at-bats so they save $200,000? UNLV, the problem with this is really for the Browns. Because I get the RGM, Marion Barry, and I know his name's not Marion.
Well, it's Andrew.
I know, but the Marion Barry is funny because The guy's got a drug problem. I could see him going after the Sluka guy and then giving up our next 5 rounds of 5 years of first-round draft picks because, nobody needs a high-quality lineman.
Okay.
And D, so A, 2, and D, that's also good. It rolls into my comment. Come on, clickbait, Kenny. You can't be serious trying to defend Deshaun Watson. This has got to be the start of the conflict.
Well, all the other things I'm not sure of. What am I saying to defend him?
This guy shouldn't be on the field. This guy should be long gone. We should just cut it right now.
Buddy,
you've got to be doing this for real.
It's not a defense. It's not a defense. It's just the truth. I'm telling you guys the truth. I can't defend this play. What's to defend, Matt?
The guy's got to not start. We got to stop settling. The guy's got to go.
You're going to play him.
You can't be serious to let that happen. I mean, this has just got to be for ratings. We can't be serious on this.
No, it's not for it's not for ratings. I'm just telling you what they're going to do.
No, I'm talking about you. You're stirring things up. The Browns are idiots. You are a genius.
I'm not stirring up anything. I swear to God, I'm not telling you anything that they're not going to do.
Why does everyone try to figure out how to get rid of clothes, and then you're trying to say you're not stirring stuff up? You're the
Guys, I'm just telling – Matt, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate you listening to us. I'm just telling you guys what the truth of the matter is with Deshaun Watson. They're going to play him until the wheels come off.
Wheels
have come off. The wheels are not off yet. That's not a defense. I can't defend the indefensible.
I mean, here's the thing, and again, this will seem like a defense of Deshaun, is that around this league, there's a lot of terrible quarterback play. There's a lot of terrible offensive play around the league. There are teams that were supposed to be good that are 0-3 or 1-2. So if you keep that in mind, that is one way to have an outlook. I know that doesn't necessarily mean the Browns are going to be great, but it does mean that there's a lot of other teams that are struggling mightily. Now, the problem is you've had Watson, this is year 3, and outside of a half against Baltimore and, outdueling Clayton Tune, like there haven't been a lot of big-time moments for Deshaun.
What a way to put it. Just looking at this season, how many of those 0-3, 1-2 teams are playing the soft part of their schedule right now?
Well, so far, it looked like the Browns might have had arguably the easiest schedule in the NFL to this point. And supposedly, if you believe the NFL gurus, we have the toughest schedule the rest of the way. So obviously, it's not going to get any easier unless you think, this week, maybe the week after that, we'll see after what we saw from Washington. I guess I would say this, though, Kenny. The problem is, Anytime we open up the phone lines, it happened yesterday with the, we had two callers back-to-back, anti-Stefanski. Like, he needs
Coach
to
Sucks
go.
Radio?
Yeah,
is what you're
Coach Sucks Radio. But we also have Quarterback Sucks Radio. So this fan base right now.
It's all fatalistic.
You tell me the percentage here that don't think either the quarterback or the coach is irredeemable.
100% of them believe one of those things.
Right. So if that's the case, guys, Stefanski's going to be the coach all year, and your quarterback is going to be the quarterback up until they're like, they'd have to go like 2-6.
They are not going
to replace him.
I'll explain this, then I'll get off of it, because it just depends on what time you're listening. I had people coming after me again yesterday. Well, you allowed this to happen. I didn't build up anything. I'm just telling you the truth of the matter. And if you don't want to, if you don't want to believe it, I don't know what else to tell you guys. If you need me to come in to your home and swear in a Bible and tell you, I will do it. I'm telling you the absolute unvarnished truth right now. They will play him until the wheels officially come off, whether he is hurt or it just stares you right in the face that he cannot process any. And I'm not talking about the fans. It's not you. When I say you, I mean it's them. They fired Alex Van Pelt. They brought in Ken Dorsey. All the things you know I'm about to say, because I've already said them before. They didn't go through all that change, not play him during the preseason, and then get rid of him in 4 weeks. They're not going to do that, because they know the ramifications of putting in a different quarterback based on play. They know it. And by the way, listen to the press conference. Do you think that sitting, if you want to say, well, if you sit him down for a little bit, let the game come to him, maybe he'll be okay. He's been sitting for 3 years. He's been sitting for 3 years off and on. If you let him happen, did you hear that press conference yesterday? Does that sound like a guy who's just going to get it all of a sudden when he's talking about the fans booing him? And whether or not he can make the right reads, and I don't care about what people put on the internet. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, and the people around you do. So you care what they're doing. You hear them boo. You hear them chanting for Jameis. You hear them chanting for the other guy. Sitting him down and letting him be closer to those chants ain't going to make anything better. So you can't go walking through that door. So you're going to play him against Vegas, and you're going to play him against Washington, and you're going to play him against Philadelphia, and you're going to play him against Cincinnati and Baltimore and the Chargers. And if by week 10 it ain't going too well, or he is hopefully healthy, then we'll find out what happens after that. Probably, hopefully, they get the nose up on the thing, and he can play like an above-average quarterback, because, guys, I ain't never said he could play any better than that this entire process. It feels like the Salem witch trials of quarterbacks over here. Ken, you're a witch. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not a witch. Tell us you're a witch. I'm not a witch. I'm telling you guys the truth here. I'm telling you he's not a franchise quarterback. How dare you say that he's a franchise quarterback? No, I just said he's not a franchise quarterback. Well, you said he's a franchise. I said he's their franchise quarterback because they've spent so much money on him. Until he proves otherwise, and I don't believe that that's probably going to happen, here we are. I'm just trying to make the best of what a situation is right now that ain't that good. But this is a new offense, and they are going to run this thing either into the sky and into the great beyond or into the mountain. All they're going to do. Can we move on to the Jose Ramirez thing?
Delightfully so.
Thank you very much. Because that is a guy, I tell you, you want to talk about green grass and high tides forever. That is Jose Ramirez. Tom Withers yesterday posted during the Guardians 5-2 win. I'll admit, I'm probably guilty of not giving Jose Ramirez enough national coverage. He's the best all-around player in Cleveland history. Some people took that and ran with all sports. All sports. Do you believe that Tom was talking about, as we go through some of these mentions and replies and everything, do you believe that Tom was talking about him in general or in Cleveland general or in baseball? Just baseball.
Well, it couldn't be Cleveland because, I mean, you have LeBron James, who Tom covered very closely. And yeah. I mean, there's just, he's a different stratosphere than even Jose is in baseball. LeBron is obviously the best ever, arguably, to do it in basketball. So I'm guessing he's talking baseball. And in baseball, I had to think about, like, in my lifetime, because I can't speak for, you know, the Tris speakers of the world and the guys that have been through here. In my lifetime, I think there's a very good case to be made for that. The only other one I come up with all around, again, maybe Kenny Lofton, but I...
Ooh, all probably, around, you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
probably
yeah, yeah.
Would have to be Jose.
So, so there's a difference to you between like the greatest of all time and all around. We have to split hairs.
I wouldn't care. Like, honestly, I probably don't care that much about defense when we're talking about this stuff. But because he said all around, right? Didn't he write all around in the tweet?
Yeah, he's played multiple positions in the infield.
Yeah,
so I mean, he's obviously good defensively.
Yeah, if it, like the best, I gotta say Manny Ramirez. Probably Manny Ramirez is the best hitter I have seen.
Ooh, pure hitter, maybe.
Yeah,
he is. I stop short all the time. We did this all the time when it came to LeBron and Michael. I stuck it out and said for a long time that Michael was better than LeBron, and I got a bunch of heat for that because I thought once you say a current player or a guy who might have just retired is the greatest of all time, you really can't go back. What new information am I going to get? What am I going to have from that? I want to make sure of it beyond a shadow of a doubt that I fully believe that that guy is the best because the other guy can't defend himself. There's no new information. What's Michael Jordan done since his career? Well, the Bobcats, now Hornets, were a mess. He's the owner of a NASCAR team. He shows up to golf things and does that. He's a retired player. There's not a lot that – he's a businessman, but other than that, there's nothing there I can put out there on the floor. It's just my core memories as a child of watching him play with Jim Paxson and beating the Suns and all that other stuff. Well, LeBron plays right now. I can discuss LeBron and criticize LeBron right now if I want to. So I think it's unfair to LeBron and it's unfair to Michael Jordan. For Jose Ramirez goes against my entire childhood of great baseball and guys who were heroes to me. Jose Ramirez is a tremendous player, seems like a tremendous person, and is a legend to a lot of people. But I have to talk about him as an adult in real time. I didn't know any better when I was 9 years old talking about Kenny Lofton and Jim Thome and all those other guys. So I have to wait before I say he's the best of my lifetime. I do believe that he's the best of my lifetime. So I don't have to wait any longer. I believe he is the best all-around player of my lifetime. But I had to wait and make very sure because I'm arguing with my previous emotions as opposed to my emotions now and what I'm seeing now.
Who else would you make a case?
Which is pretty convoluted.
Who else would you make a case for that we've actually seen?
It's tough because even those great 90s guys, most of them, Kenny's the one that spent the most time here, right? He left came back.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, Thome did, but it was at the end of the career. To me, traded. Albert Bell, if you would have got that full Albert Bell the whole time in Cleveland, that might have been the guy that rivaled him, but it was not that long in the grand scheme of baseball.
I agree. And then when we talk about, well, is he the greatest Guardian / Indian of all time? Is he up there? Numbers are comparable to guys that played in a bygone era with a different line. There's when you bring up Bob Feller, then you talk about Americana because he served in World War II, for crying out loud. Like there's a lot of things to discuss there when it comes to people's emotions. 216-474-0092. I am willing to say though, Jose Ramirez within my lifetime, all around, yes. 38 years, yes. Mary Kay Cabot, she's getting ready to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as the Browns take on the Raiders on Sunday, which it should feel maybe like a home game for the Cleveland Browns out there, which, according to the audio that we were hearing, might not be such a great thing for the quarterback when you think about it, but let's talk about it with Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's from the Cleveland Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. Is quarterback going to be able to pull the nose up on this thing, or are we in some trouble?
Well, I think he's going to have to be kept upright. He's going to have to be protected. That will help. Hopefully for them, Jed will be able to play, and Jack will be able to play, or at least play some. We know Wyatt is out, so I don't think it's going to be easy from a protection standpoint. But they're just going to have to find a way to get the job done. I mean, I think it's good that he was able to get his rhythm back with Amari Cooper, and he already had some with Jerry Jeudy, so they should be able to run some offense this game.
Mary Kay, what did you think of the decoy conversation yesterday? And Kenny, I'm not talking about the cab that they make. Ooh, it is splendid. Mary Kay would know that. You can get a good wine decoy. It's actually out there. Anyway, Jordan Akins was wide open on that 4th-and-1. What do you make of the conversation from the Browns players afterwards?
You know what? I mean, why not take Deshaun at what he's saying? They had an RPO called.
He was supposed to read certain things. He read his keys. He went through the progression and felt that he needed to pull it in and try to run it there when the slant wasn't there. So, you know, I do think there's something to be said for being careful about the whole freeze frame game that people do. It's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, he absolutely should have thrown it there. When he knows what he's told to do, he knows what's in the headset, he knows what the plan is on that play. So I do, all the players are saying the same thing, that it's easy to say it should have gone here, it should have gone there, when, you know, we don't know what the call is, we don't know what the read is.
I mean, Mary-Kate, do you think Deshaun sees the field well right now or well enough to play this position at the highest level?
Yes, I do. I do. What I think is going on in this offense, I think it's a number of things. I think it's a lot of things, including the fact that they have a brand new offense. They really haven't gotten it together yet. And he's coming off shoulder surgery. I think it took Amari Cooper two games into his third game before he was feeling comfortable doing everything and getting his rhythm with Deshaun. And then the protection has been poor. It's just, I mean, he's been sacked 16 times and hit 42 times. And then you have to factor in the defense has put them in a hole in both of those losses, 20-3 at halftime against the Cowboys and 21-7 against the Giants. So how are you going to operate like that? It's very, very difficult when you're down to be able to have a viable run game. It's just been a mess. There's no question that it's been a mess, but to pin it on Deshaun, I just think that's an oversimplification.
Mary-Kate Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we've had a lot of people on the phones who have talked about replacing him. When, if ever, would the organization ever think about such a thing?
You know, like I said, now is not the time. I mean, think about this. Everybody's looking at QBR. Everybody's looking at rating. The Browns have dropped 10 passes so far. That's most in the NFL. If that number was even cut in half and a couple of those touchdown passes were caught by Amari Cooper in each of the first couple of games, those numbers are dramatically different. So, you know, there are just so many things going on this offense right now that are widespread. It's not all Deshaun. And I think that Kevin's been trying to tell everybody that. I think everybody's been trying to say that. So give the offense some time. That's what it needs. It needs a little bit of time to come together. And I just think there's hysteria going on. I really do. You know, the sky is not falling right now. If everyone stays healthy, this offense should be playing its best ball in November and December, and that's what you want. David Njoku hasn't even been out there. That's hurt them a lot. I mean, he's one of their top two targets.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I mean, if you look around the league and you take out your top two targets for the first couple of games, it's probably not going to go as well as anybody wanted it to.
What's the offensive line going to look like on Sunday? How many? What do you think the personnel is going to be?
It's tough to say. I mean, if they get desperate enough, they might have to put Joel back out there at left tackle, or at least be ready to slide him back over there in a pinch. So I would say that they're hoping either Jed or Jack can play over there, and then I would think Zach Zinter in Wyatt Teller's place, and then they've got to hope that DeJuand feels better. DeJuand has been fighting through. I've been trying to capture this. I've seen that DeJuand hasn't been himself really since training camp, and he has been fighting through his knee injury.
I think he's hurt. I think he's hurt. Some people have been calling him heavy over the air or online, and I think that's unfair. I think he's been hurt.
He doesn't look any bigger to me than he looked last year. I think he is struggling with the knee and with the shoulder. And, I do think that those things have impacted him. So let's see what he's able to do over there. But certainly you can attack the edges when you know that your guys are not healthy. That hasn't helped matters, but they have to find a way to combat it. That's it. I mean, they just can't say, oh, geez, we've got three guys coming off of knee surgeries and we can't protect Deshaun. I mean, you have to find a way to get the job done. And as far as the whole identity piece, I am not an identity person when it comes to you have to be jumbo, you have to be play action, you have to be spread. I just don't think that's true. I think you can be multiple, show multiple looks. Your identity can come from how fast you play or how hard you play or how multiple you can be or those kinds of things. I don't think that this offense is in an identity crisis. I think it's in an execution crisis.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the hotline. Are we going to have a running game this year? And if not, until Nick Chubb comes back, when is that going to be?
Well, they had a running game last year, even without Nick Chubb. So, yes, I do think they're going to have a running game. Once again, I think it is difficult to run the ball when you're down 20-3 and when you're down 21-7. So you have to stay in the game to keep a running game going. So that's one thing. This team that they're playing, the Raiders, are 29th against the run. So this is a game in which you should be able to run the ball if, once again, you don't dig yourself a hole in the first quarter. So the defense has to play better. The defense has gotten too much of a pass. We know they've pulled it together in the second half of both games that they've lost, but that's a little bit too little, a little bit too late. I mean, by then, teams can pin their ears back and absolutely come after you. So the defense has got to do its part as well in this whole situation. But I do think that they will have a running game when the offensive linemen are a little bit healthier and when everything gets rolling.
Mary Kay, Jerry Jeudy, how have you enjoyed the Jerry Jeudy experience so far?
I like the Jerry Jeudy experience. I like the player. I like the person. I really think that he's going to be really good for this team. I think he meshes with Deshaun when it comes to the scramble drills and just field vision and those kinds of things. So I think as this goes along, I think it will prove to be a very good acquisition.
Well, because I was asked this question like in the hallway the other day, and Lima was with me, and I said, well, honestly, I think I've said it on the air. I like Jerry Jeudy so far. I think it's been a welcome addition. And Lima did the math. He goes, he's on pace for like 600 yards this year. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. Right now, I'm looking at it, and I think it's a pretty good addition right now with Jerry Jeudy over here. You want to speak up for yourself there, Tone?
No, I just...
Sounded like I was taking shots at you.
No, I said when we went over this on the podcast, I'm just like, man, if those are the numbers by the end of the year, I think fans are going to just wish we would have been able to maybe find one of these guys in the draft, because you can find these guys in the draft for very little money.
Can the Browns find these guys in the draft, Anthony?
Oh, God.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
It's not good either.
Well, not great, but here we are.
The passing game is 30th in the NFL, so nobody's going to have good numbers right now. As I've said before, the passing game has not gotten rolling yet. I think it will get a lot better. I know it will get a lot better when David Njoku is back, when all of the weapons are out there, when Deshaun is more comfortable in this offense, when he is on the same page with the receivers. A lot of times when you're looking out there and you're seeing what looks like a completely errant pass, sometimes that's a choice route where the wide receiver and the quarterback were not on the same page at all. And I think that that's one of the things that Deshaun was trying to say yesterday, that if he could have one takeaway from the first three games, is that he wishes that he were on the same page more with his receivers. And so they do have to do that. But it's hard to get on the same page when everything is compressed in a time frame because you don't have time to throw the ball, because you can't run the ball. It just hasn't come together yet. Let's see what we're talking about in November and December. If Deshaun is horrible in November and December and everyone is healthy, then I think that you have a crisis. Right now, I don't think they're in crisis mode.
Mary Kay, we had Rodney McLeod in on Tuesday for an hour. It was must watch and listen radio. We'll have him on every single week throughout the year. And he gave great perspective on their defense, on how it doesn't matter if Malik Nabers or if it's Davante Adams or Jerry Rice in his prime, they are not going to play matchup defense, meaning Denzel Ward's going to be on one side and Emerson's going to be on the other, regardless of how they're doing. Do you think that is the right attack defensively?
Well, they'll have to see how it goes as they move forward. If they continue to give up plays like they did to Malik Nabers, then no, it's not going to be the right strategy going forward. And I think some of it might be right now, too, and I don't know for sure. We can maybe ask Jim Schwartz this today. Denzel Ward has been injured with his shoulder injury, so he's really been having a tough time doing the job that, you know, that we've all seen him do. So that could be factoring in right now. But if the side-to-side thing isn't working, then certainly you have to change it up. You have to pivot and adjust as you move forward.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, it seems like, is that such a insult to their sense that we bracket a great wide receiver? Because I'm like, I don't want Davante Adams to beat us on Sunday. I think we let Malik Nabers beat us last Sunday. I don't want to do that again.
Well, for whatever reason, I just didn't think Martin played his best game either.
No,
and I think that's the case with a number of the defenders. Now, we know that Myles Garrett is hurting and ailing, and I think that's a big storyline heading into these next few weeks. This is the first of three straight road games, and Myles Garrett is pretty hobbled with his feet, his Achilles, his thigh. When your best player on defense is hurting, that's going to have a trickle-down effect on the defense. So he's probably not at his best. And then I didn't think Martin played his best. I didn't necessarily think JOK played his best. I thought there were a number of missed tackles. And so that's a side of the ball that needs attention. I mean, these guys have got to pick it up. I think they've gotten a little bit of a pass because they've pulled it together both games, both losses. But they need to start faster, and they need to tighten things up however that is. But like you said, Davante Adams, I mean, he can hurt them. And Gardner Minshew, everyone saw last year how scrappy he is. He's a fighter. This is gut check time for the Raiders. They were called out by their coach. So, you know, when you're facing a team that's in that situation, they're going to bring their A game, and the Browns have got to be ready for it.
Myles Garrett, does he need some time off to get rested, to get healed up, or is he going to play this week no matter what?
Well, he is expected to play this week. Kevin told us that yesterday, and we heard from Miles that he'll have to be dragged off the field. So I think he'll play as long as he can until the medical staff tells him that he needs to rest or he needs a procedure or something like that. It should make everyone a little bit nervous when you're talking about an Achilles, because if something more serious happens to that Achilles, then, of course, he would be out for the season or probably out for the season. So they have to keep an eye on that. They have to monitor it. And if he can't get through this game and it's obvious he needs some time, then they're going to have to really seriously think about doing that.
Have you ever been out to dinner with another couple and they started bickering with each other and it got awkward? And does it seem like Anthony and I are like that sometimes when you're on the phone with us?
No, not at all. I like a little bit of tension. And no, I really haven't been out with another couple when they started bickering like that. But with you guys, I enjoy a little bit of that tension.
Yeah, it's nice. Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Thank you, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That people were liking his two things. One, I expressed my frustrations right to Rodney's face, which Rodney didn't get up and hit me in the mouth for, so I respect that and certainly
love
that.
So now we're going to continue to do that.
Yeah. It's early in the season. Well,
let's give it a couple weeks.
Don't let me blame Rodney for things that he doesn't have control of. I'm going to tell you that right now. He's in the secondary. He wasn't out there on the field at the time, so we could sit there and do a back and forth. But the other thing is, did you know Rodney's hands were that big?
We
shake his hands every day he comes in here, and you looked at the camera, and I'm like, oh, my God, the mitts are huge.
Yeah, they're big.
I didn't realize his hands were that big. But this is going to be a point of concern on Sunday. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, I could sit there and talk about the quarterback, and we will, because I disagree with Mary Kay and what she said about him being able to see the field. I don't think he's seeing the field. I don't. And I think that fans are in his head, and I think that he's in a really bad place. But we can talk about that at any time. This is a very big issue. He did complete passes to Wandale Robinson. I said in that little rant that when he was going for Wandale Robinson, he could barely do it. Going back and watching the game, because I was so flustered and angry at the time, he was able to complete a few passes. I think four passes to Wandale Robinson.
And that was a second-round pick.
In that game, yeah. But, I mean, Malik Nabers being able to do that, and they didn't score any second-half points. They won 21 to 15. I was frustrated because I'm going, man, it's all Malik Nabers. Like, stop this. I know it's one-on-one, and you know,
make Daniel Jones have to think about it. Make him have to take a little more time to find somebody else, or have him have to force a ball in there, which of course he did force one, and still Malik Nabers went up and got it somehow, miraculously so. But at least add to the degree of difficulty for somebody like Daniel Jones. Because if you do that, then you feel like a guy could get flustered. A guy could start making mistakes he doesn't otherwise make.
And I can't
Or that let, he always makes, actually.
But true. And I cannot let this happen again on Sunday. I cannot let one wide receiver just beat the brakes off us while we're trying to figure out whatever they're trying to figure out on offense. What that is, I don't know. Anytime you ask for an explanation, they don't give you a good one, or they start talking about decoys. But whatever they're trying to do on offense, it ain't working right now. Whatever I'm trying to do on defense, I mean, you held them to 21 points, no second half points. So you got something figured out. I'm sorry, you should be able to score. You spent how much money on this offense? You should be able to score more than 20 points in 3 weeks of football. I don't give a damn what type of offense you're trying to put in there. You have one of the most expensive offenses in all the NFL. Now I'm pissed because I'm just thinking about the money that's being spent on that, and it ain't even my money. So you've decided, you got how much have you invested in guards and they're hurt? You got how much invested in your offensive line? You got half those guys hurt, and then your weapons are making all this money. And well, let's not even start with who makes the most money. So we can do all that, and you're not even able to score over 20 points in 3 weeks of football. So now I got to put more on my defense, and my defense has egos. So they don't want to do bracket coverage. They just want to do man. Okay. Well, then don't let Devontae Adams beat you on Sunday, I will have a massive coronary, and I won't even be able to yell on Monday
morning.
Yeah,
Kenny, I know. Here's Mary Kay, what she had to say with us moments ago, because I think this is really important.
They need to start faster, and they need to tighten things up, however that is. But like you said, Devontae Adams, I mean, he can hurt them. And Gardner Minshew, everyone saw last year how scrappy he is. He's a fighter. This is gut check time for the Raiders. They were called out by their coach. When you're facing a team that's in that situation, they're going to bring their A game, and the Browns have got to be ready for it.
Which I still don't even know. It's only week four, and they're getting called out for business decisions. I don't know if that's the right call, but either way,
Adams agreed with him, by the way. Adams agreed with his head coach.
Well, then, hell, never mind. No, I did not hear Devontae Adams say that. I beg your pardon.
No, I thought that was interesting that he came by. He was interviewed over the last few days, and he's like, yeah, it was bad. It was bad from some of the players. So I am expecting. I'm not saying that the Browns, you know, they're going to get dominated by this Raiders team. I mean, come on. We're way better than this Raiders team. We should be better than this Raiders team.
Yes.
But one thing I do know this week, you are going to get a fired up Raiders team. I hope you get a fired up Browns team. I really do. I hope that you get a fired up Browns team that is in desperation mode and is going to do whatever it takes to win games.
You better. Mike and Stowe, hello.
Yeah, Ken. Good morning, Anthony. How are you guys doing today?
Doing okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the thing.
Grumble. I'm sorry. Yeah, Go ahead, Mike.
No worries. I totally disagree with Mary Kay. I love her to put out fires at times, you know, and keep us all calm. But this is a problem. You know, our offense is in complete disarray. We can't get anything right. We can't – on defense, which I kind of suspected that we were going to have a little bit of a letdown. I mean, we were so good last year. I don't see how we could keep that up. It's just really hard to do that from year to year for any team. And now it's really showing. But the biggest problem that I'm kind of with you, Ken. You know, Deshaun needs to be thrown to the wolves. I hate that this line is a piece of crap and it's a mess right now. And I miss Del Callahan like crazy. But I'm not putting it all on Dickerson. But it is definitely all the mistakes. And I think they're leading to injuries. I think it's compounding the problem. And now it's leading into Deshaun and the fans are doubting him. It's a mess. I don't care what she says. This is a mess. We better gut check time is definitely it. We lose, it's time to pack it in. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for the call, Kenny, Mike. I mean, he's saying to pack it in a month into the season. You're 1-3. You're 1-3.
Yeah, and good. A bunch of teams are 1-2 or 0-3 that are going to make the playoffs.
I don't care about the other teams.
No, but I'm telling you, the reason I'm telling you that is to say that those teams aren't giving up on the season, and they look terrible. They have a lot of issues. Heck, the Steelers, until, I don't know, Filippone was just flat out lying to us around the AFC North. He knows our offense sucks. He knows that Justin Fields has not been that great. But the real fans of the Steelers know they need to get a lot better too. The Bill Callahan part of this, he did say, "Man, I wish we could have, you know, Bill Callahan back." Now, Derrick Rose published a letter.
What does this Derek have to do with anything?
Can we publish something in the Tennessean and get Bill Callahan to come back? Because it's not going to end well over there either.
Derrick Rose retired today and published a full-page letter in the Cleveland Plain Dealer thanking Cavs fans for his 16 games in Cleveland.
Did he do that as a joke? Well, did he tell his friends, "Hey, I'm going to do it to it. You won't do it in Cleveland, though, will you? You won't do it in Cleveland." Oh, yes, I will. It's in color, Kenny.
Yeah,
it's like double the price.
It's true. A lot of toner.
A lot of ink's going for these days.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it just shows you. You don't even get new ink. You just get new printers. It's what you do.